Well, it's an honor for me to bring the word today, and Pastor's on vacation. He's visiting his folks in Oregon, and so he asked me if I would fill in, and I've come to appreciate our pastor a lot more since I've been asked to preach from time to time, and I think we have such a wonderful pastor who has such a gift for preaching, and so you'll probably perhaps say the same thing as well after today. I wanted to start out, this is a text that we were going through Galatians in our Sunday school class, and I was subbing in for Dan, and right before everything got shut down, so I was ready to bring this for Sunday school, and so when Pastor asked me, I said, well, what about using that text? And so before we open with prayer, I want to kind of just read the verses before the verses we're going to be talking about tonight, just to kind of give you an idea of where we're dropping in. I think that's important for the context. So I'm going to read just out of my Bible here. This is Galatians. I'm going to read 5, just 1 through 15. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish that those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. And these last couple verses really help us bring into focus where we're headed here. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And so circumcision is in view here. We don't talk about circumcision much. And it's so, but when you think of the law, don't just think of the Ten Commandments. I think usually that's where I think of when we talk about the law. But the law is included really, in a sense, all of this is for our instruction, the Bible. And so I think Paul's warning that we cannot, by obeying rules and regulations and law, save ourselves. And there's the danger that lies in law-keeping or rule-keeping, is if we think that that's what saves us. And so that's an important point that we'll hit on more as we go through our message. But let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just are so thankful for your word, and we just pray that you would open our eyes to the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your Spirit, and help us to understand the role that your Spirit plays in our life, and help us to understand how your word, what role that plays also, so that we do not trust in law-keeping for salvation, but we trust in Jesus Christ. I pray now your blessing on this message. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to use this clicker. I'm going to read the whole text through, because when I preach it, I'm going to preach just a piece at a time. And this text is quite long, and I'm a little worried about going long, so if it seems like I'm missing some things that I could spend more time on, you're right, because I'm afraid if I spend too much time, so it'll almost be kind of an overview, but I thought it'd be good to just for me to read it through and then we'll start kind of verse by verse. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So there's the entire text, and we're going to just start kind of going line by line. And I'll try to remember to click us on in case you don't have your Bible. You can follow with the overhead. Scripture will be there. So we're starting out with this command to walk by the Spirit. And so it's interesting to note that Galatians has this kind of contrast between law and grace. And you could even say law and gospel. And so we'll see, you know, that as we go through the message as well. But this is, in a sense, a command. It's not a suggestion. Like we have some options. We could walk by the Spirit, or we could obey the law, you know, and be saved by the law. And interestingly enough, we're not sanctified by just rule-keeping either. And so once we're a believer, we're in this process, right, of sanctification, becoming more like Christ. And so that's also, and the whole, the idea with the law was to, in a sense, drive us to despair, to recognize we can't do it. And so by driving us to despair, we are to look to Jesus Christ and what he did. And so that's why we use the term grace. That's the gospel message. And so we'll move on. If you, in your bulletin, you do have on the back side just the points if you want to follow along. That's kind of the main 4 points that I want to hit. And so you can use that as well to follow along. But the first point was the command. And the second point is the battle. So I'll read this scripture and we'll talk about the next section here about the battle. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And when I first read that, I thought, are the good things I want to do or the bad things? But I believe it's the good things we want to do, right, as a believer. But it's interesting in this, I believe it's 4 times this word desire is mentioned. And I remember in Charlene's class when I came to give my testimony, she had that as a topic. And I wished I'd listened a little closer, because there's an interesting thing about our desire to follow the Lord and our desire to do sinful fleshly things, right? And so one thing about the term flesh, throughout this message we'll hear this term. Don't think of this, what's on your bones, but think of the unredeemed part. When you become a believer, there's the sinful nature, we call it. Some scriptures will say the old man, or they'll say the lower nature. So those are all meaning the same thing in flesh. And so this desire is important. And, and I'll talk into kind of the message talking a little bit about desire. But I was thinking of the song, you know, "This Is My Desire, to Honor You. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you." And desire is more than just intellectual, like I will do this or I will do that. Desire is a deep down sense that that this is a longing. And I thought David, when he said, as a deer pants for water, so my soul longs after you, right? So this is a, when you start talking about desire, you have to think about that longing. And sadly, this sin that we struggle with, sometimes we desire and we're tempted to do things that are sinful. And it's encouraging to note that Paul, the great apostle Paul, had this struggle because in Romans 7:18 through 19, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." And so we see that even Paul had this battle going on within him. And I think, so the challenge is, and the interesting thing about our text is we have, in a sense, the products of the deeds of the flesh and the products of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's kind of, you could take a kind of a 10,000 foot view of your life as a Christian. What do you see? Do you see the products of the flesh? Hopefully we don't see those, and maybe there are a couple that we struggle with. Or do we see the fruits of the Spirit? And that's what we long to see. And it's the products of the flesh are ugly and repulsive. And the products of the fruit of the Spirit are beautiful and attractive. And we see that around us in fellow believers. And it's a beautiful thing to see those fruits of the Spirit. And I think we see those so well in our church here. But it's a good message for us to look at both of these lists here today. And the scripture that in Romans 13:14 says, make no provision for the flesh. So when we talk about these desires or these temptations for sinful things, the scripture says, don't make provision for it, okay? So I was thinking of some examples, like, in my own life, as you, most of you who know my testimony, that I was very rebellious and I was drinking and smoking pot. And so when I had to make no provision for the flesh, for me, I had to cut out drinking 100% because it was a weakness of mine and I didn't trust myself with even having one beer. But it's so easy for us to fall into a legalistic thing. And I think an example of that is my brother was telling me that somebody came to the farm and Rich was chatting with him and he said, well, how is your brother, you know, doing? Because Rich knew both this guy and his brother. And he said, well, I haven't talked to him in years because I have a beer once in a while and so my brother wants nothing to do with me. I thought, that's legalism. That's what we want to fight against, right? But each person, you know, has to make that decision for themselves. For me, I haven't touched a drop for like about 30 years because it's a weakness for me. But for others, you know, it's not sinful. We're not going to be legalistic in this church. But another example might be, you know, if you struggle with sexual immorality, we'll get into that list here in a minute. But, you know, maybe R-rated movies are something that you have watched and you don't feel that's wrong, but I would just say if you wake up the next morning with those sinful thoughts, or if while you're watching it you have sinful thoughts, that might be where you make no provision for the flesh. And so each person, I'm not going to tell you where to make that standard, but you have to guard yourself and watch that. So we'll talk a little more about that as we go through the list of deeds of the flesh. So, moving on here. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Trying to remember here where I'm at, catch up on my notes here. This is an important part when we're talking about the Spirit. We need to always remember that we have the Spirit when we become a believer. And so it's not like we have to doubt that we have the Spirit, but we need to have a willingness to follow the Spirit and to be obedient to His leading. And we'll get into more of that as we go here. The next section is the list of works of the flesh or deeds of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so this list is kind of beginning the contrast in our points here, because we're going to look at the works of the flesh and then also the fruits of the Spirit. And it's interesting to note there are a number of lists in the Bible, and most all of them start out with sexual immorality. And so that tells me that's a problem for mankind, and including myself. And sometimes when you preach and you give examples from yourself, you kind of worry about people thinking less of you. But sometimes people have told me later they have that problem too. So it's encouraging to know that we're not alone, in a sense, when we admit our struggles in our sin. So the first part of the list deals with sexual immorality. And we have to, you know, I was thinking of an example of in my own life where to help just make sure that my mind doesn't go where it's not supposed to. And so if I'm driving down the road and there's a gal running down the road exercising, I sometimes choose just to look at the opposite side of the road as I go rather than look at her. And that's just a simple way. You know, there's TV commercials and things where, you know, we need to, in a sense, we talked earlier, make no provision for the flesh. So these are practical ways that we can all guard against these types of sins. The second ones, the idolatry and sorcery, were like a man-made religion. And it was interesting to me that sorcery is also a word where they get pharmaceutical from. And so drugs, I think, kind of can fall into that category. And you know, a lot of the ancient religions would use some drugs with their, quote, worship. And so I think drugs are a serious problem in our culture. And I wonder, you know, as I studied for this, I wondered, you know, how much do I warn us as a body? But I have a couple people on my prayer list that are addicted to drugs. And so people have asked me to pray for them. And sadly, it's not just people that come from outside of the church, right? These are from Christian families, kids that grew up in a Christian home. And so I think it's a danger. Marijuana is legal in the state of Washington. But if you start with marijuana, I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in others, that it's people look for something more, something greater, and they get in a cycle of addiction, and it spirals down. It never goes up, it spirals down. So that's a warning. And I say also for other drugs, if you have a knee operation and they give you drugs for that, be on your guard, that at some point you got to get off of that. And so I think that drugs in more than just for young people can be a problem. And alcohol, we'll talk a little more about that, or, you know, it's kind of like that where it's not a sin, but if you start self-medicating. My brother told me one farmer, he had such a big operation, he had to take a number of shots of whiskey at night so he could wind down and sleep. And that's not for the believer. That's something's wrong then if you start going down that path. And so the other ones on the list have deal with relationships, and so it's important to here I finally found out, caught up here with my notes here, but the you know, even in the church, we have to, in our families, extended families, neighborhoods, we have to be on our guard for things like these. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. These are things that can crop up in the church. And it's important, because we're all sinners, it's going to happen where somebody is going to, upset you or cause a problem. And so if we don't forgive it and really deal with it, then the danger is that it lingers, right? And if I have a problem with Dan from something that happened in a meeting, and so then when something else comes up, well, I drag out that other problem that I never really forgave him for. And so it's just something that we have to recognize in our relationships, that rivalries, you know, we're sinners, and sometimes we want the light to kind of shine on us. It's human nature, and it's sinful, because the light should be on the Lord, right? But I think the church is not immune to that, and so we just need to be acknowledging that. And so I think I've covered the last couple. Their drunkenness and orgies were also a big part of their culture in this Galatian area, where they had some of these things were part of where they came out of. And so Paul is warning them. And the list is not exhaustive. You could see it says those who do such things. So it's not an exhaustive list. And so the last, this part, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. And this was an important point to remember, that it's sin comes from within. And there is a sense in our culture where people think that sometimes maybe if you have better jobs, better housing, all these things can help people, like in society, especially in the inner cities. They think that that will solve man's problem. But what's clear from this scripture in Mark is that it's what comes from within, right, that defiles a person. This is my list here, and it seems like I don't know if I'm doing the clicker quite right, but I wanted to, we'll move on past this one. And this is the warning. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's important to note, and as I studied this, the translation could, I think, be better said, those who practice such things, because if we look at the list of jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, envy, etc., you know, who of us, since we've become a believer, haven't done some of those things, right? And so that doesn't mean that we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if it's a habit, a practice, then it is a stern warning for us to consider if we're a believer. And so it's serious, and that's where I would just, you know, call everyone to take that list of works of the flesh, and if you're convicted on any of those, maybe reach out to somebody who you trust. And I didn't mention this earlier, but pornography is a big problem in our culture. Off the internet, it's very accessible, and so I know men who have really struggled with that, and so I think there again, sometimes it's helpful to have someone that you trust that you can say, this is a problem I want to work on. Will you help me, in a sense, pray for me and hold me accountable, and that ask me from time to time how I'm doing? And so that's why we have a warning like that. So the fruits of the Spirit are, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And it's obvious they don't need laws against these kind of things, right? Because you know, that was kind of interesting to me. It's kind of makes sense that you don't need a law to curb patience, right? The more patience, the better. And so that's an interesting thing. One of the commentaries was Stott that said he had kind of grouped these up into three groups. And so that's what I'd like to do. And so he has nine Christian graces which seem to portray a Christian's attitude to God, to other people, and to himself. So the first three here, he talks about in our relationship with God. And that was kind of new to me and struck me. And I noted, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? But we also know that love is obviously horizontal as well, because the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. So, but I thought it was good for us to think about these three, first three, in our relationship to God. And I think sometimes it's hard to put into words what is it like to love God? What is it like to have joy in God? And for me, a big part of it is remembering who he is. And so we need scripture. And so we need to remember his attributes, remember his greatness, remember all the things he's done, and then recognize, as great as he is, he reaches down and helps individuals. He loves us individually, and he cares about our individual needs. And joy, you know, the Westminster Catechism has the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So think about, you know, what is that like to enjoy God? Have you ever thought of that? To me, it's worship, singing. We were just singing, I love to worship in song. And so it captures all of me. It captures my mental with the words. It captures my emotions. And I'm all in loving the Lord and having a joy in him. And I think it's important to note when we talk about desires that we are not satisfied with the things of the world if we make them our idol. And this is where, like, even sex, it's a beautiful thing in the context of marriage. But if you make it your idol, even in the context of marriage, pretty soon it's going to cause problems. You're going to start looking outside of your marriage, or it's going to cause problems. And so I think there's just a danger in that we recognize we love the Lord, our joy is in him, our satisfaction is him. And then all the good gifts that he gives, we thank him for, right? So we can praise him for it and thank him for it, but not make it the idol, not make it the center. That's when the danger comes. And then with peace with God, we know that Scripture is clear that the wrath of God remains on us unless we get right with God, right? Unless we become a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. So that's a beautiful thing, to think of peace with God. And have you ever thought about meeting him face to face? We can have confidence because of Jesus Christ. We may tremble, but we don't have to have fear. We have peace. And that's a beautiful thing to think about with Almighty God, that we have peace with him. So the next ones on the list here, he had more in relation to, on the horizontal, patience, kindness, goodness. And so, obviously, it's easy to be patient with people when they're wonderful, but sometimes, you know, we aggravate each other, right? And so, and I think of that in a marriage context. It just happens because you're around each other all the time. And so I think that's the challenge, you know, in situations, can we be patient with each other? And then these words, kindness and goodness, I think, you know, sometimes somebody next to us who knows us, we could say, am I a kind person? Is that descriptive of me that I'm a good person? Am I good in my speech toward others? Am I good in deeds toward others? And so that's something to think about. And the last ones here, were more for introspecting of ourselves, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I hadn't really thought of it, but self-control, faithfulness is, in a sense, part of self-control, because are you reliable, right? Faithfulness could be, you could use the word reliable as another way to look at that. And so I think it's good for us to sometimes say, and I think of my own words, sometimes I'm quick to promise this or promise that, and I think I'm not as reliable or as faithful to my words as I want to be. And so that's a challenge for me. And then gentleness, you know, Jesus said, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, or I am humble in heart. So I think Jesus is our example there as well. And the next point here I have is the victory. And this part is dealing with, I'll read the text here. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And this has the image of nailing, when we become a believer, this has the image of nailing our sinful desires to the cross. And one of the commentators said, once it's nailed to the cross, it's not coming down. And so that's the goal when you become a believer, or even if we're convicted of one of the lists of works of the flesh, that if we, in a sense, we nail it to the cross, and then in our lives we should see progress. And this is something I kind of missed earlier because I was a little out of place in my notes, but this journey we're on, being led by the Spirit, we should see progress in our life. And so it's not perfection, but it's progress. And so we ought to be able to look back in our lives, you know, to see where we first have to, like today, to decide where we're at today and where we want to be. And sometimes we look back, we can see how far we've come as well. But I would just say that's an important point, is just continue to be decisive about those deeds of the flesh. I wrote some bullet points about that, and I wrote down, show your old nature no mercy, right? We can't be sympathetic, so to speak, to works of the flesh. The rejection of the old nature will involve pain, right? Sometimes when we make decisions, it's hard for us. And I remember when I wanted to completely make this change in my life, when I became a believer, I had to part ways with my old friends. And that was painful, in the sense that I was quite social. But that's an example of sometimes of the pain that's involved. The rejection of our old nature is to be decisive. Once it's nailed, it's not coming down. It may take time to completely die. And don't go back to the cross and coddle your sin. That's another important thing, is that be decisive. I think our growth, to the degree we grow, is tied to a decisiveness. And so I think it's helpful for our sin that if we're decisive. So we have the second to the last verse, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And it's an important thing to remember when we talk about the Spirit, we need to talk about our Bible, because When we analyze where we're at and where we want to be, it's the Scripture that tells us that. And so I believe primarily the Spirit works through the Word of God. And so even today, the Scripture was giving us, right, the works of the flesh, and the fruit of the Spirit. So always keep in mind when you think about the Spirit that the Word of God is the primary way that the Spirit leads us. And so there's an interesting aspect that in our earlier in the text it talks about walking. And so there's this tension between a human choice of walking and then the Spirit leading. And the Spirit, the beautiful thing the Spirit does is it does create in us these desires, and it increases our appetite, I think, to follow the Lord. And Pastor would say sometimes, build a bigger fire for the Lord that will help you to say no to trying to find satisfaction in lesser things. So the last verse we have here is, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And I think this is just goes back to the point of what the problem was in the church that they had, that Paul was dealing with. And so we see that there is, in our day as well, we have to fight against this. And the Phillips translation said it this way, the same verse, let us not be ambitious for our own reputations, for that only means making each other jealous. And so that's something that we need to be on our guard for. And so just in closing here, I would just say, notice how this passage helps us understand a little bit better of Paul's teaching about the law. Although he earlier spoke very strongly against the use of the law as a means of salvation, he does not question the law. He does not question the value of the law as a revelation of what God's will is for us. If our life is ruled by the Spirit, we are not subject to the condemning power of the law, and thus we need not fear it. It is therefore right for us to fulfill the law, to perform those acts the law does not condemn. Here is freedom indeed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads us, and yet we are commanded to walk. We are commanded to follow his leading. And Lord, with that, we need to turn from any works of the flesh that we have identified today. Lord, I pray that with our sin, we would call it by name and confess it. We thank you that we go to the cross. We go to you, Jesus, when we recognize we have things in our lives that are sinful. And then we're thankful for the Spirit's power that he gives us to follow his leading. Lord, there's mystery involved in this this tension between what we are commanded to do and what we need to do and what the Spirit does. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to lead us in a way that we would be more and more like Jesus Christ. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.